How's everybody doing this morning? I'm going to change it up for y'all. I have been working on myself for about 4 years now. I have transitioned on how I share. And oh man, look at you! Oh, now I really feel special. Yeah, he said Riverside setup. He'd be watching my services. I can tell. If he said that, I know he's watching my services. I've really just been trying to, I've been working on myself to be sorry, I got my wallet in my back pocket. Can you hold all my dollars for me, please? It's off 15 cents, off 75 cents I got there. I've been just really trying to be a better communicator of the gospel, trying to be a better communicator when it comes to sharing. And so I've been working on myself for literally the last 4 years. And the first year was very, very challenging for me because I've been in full-time ministry, been pastoring, youth pastor and executive pastor and associate pastor for 20 years. And when you do something for such a long time, you create habits. Right, you get into a thing that you're doing things a certain way. You use certain phrases. I mean, my congregation, there was a time when they could tell you, man, you say this all the time. We're not talking about Pastor Tim. We're just talking about myself. So, when I realized, I'm like, man, I do say this all the time, and I do say that all the time, and I do this all the time, and I do that all the time, and it became to where my congregation, as they were listening to, people would listen to me, they're like, oh yeah, he's fixing to say this. Oh yeah, he's got that. And I was like, man, there's nothing worse than being a predictable preacher. Okay. I love you, Tim. Okay, so, I'm not here. He's sitting right here, so I can just talk to him. But, so I just kind of been working on myself, so I told Tim, I was like, look, man, I'm not going to be up top. I'm going to sit down here on the floor, get me a stool. He blessed me with a table, so yay. I usually have a table. I went from a tall table to a little short, you know, what are those called? TV tray. So I have a TV tray now that I'm using right now instead of a pulpit. And I'm working myself out of the TV tray phase right now, in a stool. So I'm transitioning. I've got you've heard of 5-year plans? Mine's a 6-year plan. It's a 6-year preaching plan. I've been working on them. I'm at year 4. And so it's really, really challenging. So if I say something, do something, behave, this is probably kind of weird for you, just me sitting here right now doing this and at this level. But I'm really, really working on myself. So that's enough about me. My wife is here. She has been putting up with me for 30 years. This past November, we just celebrated 30 years of being married together. Her putting up with me and... she probably don't want y'all to know this, but she just turned 50. Most women don't like you to know their age, but I think 50 is the new 30.
Yeah.
So if you're 50 in that age, you're now 30 something. And so been knowing Tim for a long time, and Kristen, man, always enjoy hanging out with him and getting to know him at the cattle prod, Kristen, every once in a while. She don't like me very much sometimes because I get in her business and leave me alone. No, but I love them very much. Really appreciate them. And I wanted to just share some things with you. So I just want you to know I love you all. Just smile and say, okay, that's what I hear you. I love you very much. I love the body. I love the word. I love Jesus. I love the Holy Ghost. But I will challenge your theology this morning. I'm going to challenge your theology, your doctrine. So just know that I'm a word of faith guy. Y'all don't believe me. I can tell already. Y'all are like, yeah, right. I hear you're saying it. You're saying the disclaimer at the beginning. Yes, I am. So that you understand that I am a word of faith individual. My pastor is from, I graduated from Rhema. I've been involved in for the last 20-something years. But what I learned is that in these last probably 10-12 years, we can get into habits like I was talking about. We can get into some things that sometimes we don't really address, we don't really look at, we don't really pay attention to, and we push off to the side because it's not really right to do if you're a word of faith, full of the Holy Ghost believer, right? If we're that type of individual, then it's hard for us to address some things and look at some things just because of what we've been taught, what's been shared with us, things that we This is going to really mess you up right now already. Things that we've been taught to believe and things that we believe in the Word. But I'm a guy, I'm not a surface believer. I'm not a surface follower of Christ. I like to go deep. And when you start looking at deep, God starts showing you things that you really don't like. Okay, just me in the front row. Hey, I'll talk to you guys over here. So I want to talk to you a little bit about bullies. Anybody know what a bully is? How many of you like bullies? Anybody like bullies? Nobody likes bullies. Wrong crowd. Okay, is that the 12 o'clock service? The 12 o'clock service. Okay. We don't like bullies, but how many of you know that we have bullies? Bullies on our jobs, bullies in our marriage. I'm not good. My wife's a bully. She bullies me all the time. But we have bullies in our life. We have bullies that, you know, our kids deal with bullies on our jobs, relationships, in our families, right? And the thing about bullies is that we need bullies. You have to learn to appreciate bullies, like bullies. You know that bullies will push you to do something that you wouldn't normally do? We need bullies in our life. Guys, anti-love. No, we do. We need to have bullies. And so one of the biggest bullies that I discovered that we as believers face constantly, all the time, knocks on our door, but we never acknowledge it. We just kind of kind of speak the word and keep going. But one of the biggest bullies that we face and we deal with is, I call it the bully of believers, and that's fear, phobia. Knocks on our door, right? And we respond with the most famous scripture that every believer can think of. I don't have a spirit of fear. Right? Y'all know the scripture? Y'all know where that's at? 2 Timothy 1:7. But of faith, power, love, and a sound mind, and self-control. We never like the self-control part. We just like the, I don't have a spirit of fear. Right? But whether we have a spirit of fear or not, whether we believe we have a spirit of fear or not, guess what still comes? Fear. Fear still comes. How does fear get to us? Fear comes. Fear knocks on our door as unbelief. That's how it starts. Unbelief. Have you ever had something happen to you? You're watching it. You're experiencing it. And you go, I just don't believe it. Me? Just a handful of us? Right? It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. Exciting or boring, right? When it happens, this is what we literally say this. I cannot believe this. I can't believe it. You know, your spouse does something like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you said that, right? And that's where it starts. It starts with unbelief. And when that unbelief starts gaining some traction, guess what it creates? Doubt. Because you go from unbelief to doubt. I can't believe this. Oh, I doubt this will even work out. Right? And so we start talking unbelief. We start talking about doubt. And that leads to fear. Because we have unbelief. We have doubt. And we have fear. And once you have doubt, once you have unbelief, doubt, it literally gives life and birth to fear. And fear starts working on us. Now, the biggest problem that we have, I love y'all already. Everybody watching online, please send all your emails to Pastor Tim. He'll respond and rebut. And he'll be like, yeah, that was Pastor Cello, but. But we, in our Word of Faith culture, have gotten to a place where we're not allowed to address or acknowledge fear. Yeah. We speak to the fear, but we won't acknowledge the fear. We say that we have no doubt, but yet we're full of doubt. We want to believe, and so we don't address the fact that we actually have unbelief. This is the hardest place for Word of Faith people. This is the hardest place for me. When I was there, I was like, I'm trying to have faith. I'm trying to not have fear. And I'm shaking at the knees, freaking out, got anxiety, blood pressure going all over the place. I'm not afraid. Well, you showing all the symptoms. I believe. You don't look like you believe. You're not talking like you believe. Speaking the word and just speaking the word and just speaking the word and speaking the word and the whole time speaking it in doubt. saying, confessing the scriptures, confessing the word, and on the inside, full of doubt, full of unbelief, full of fear. Okay, tomorrow's seminar will be based on what faith looks like. So we'll see y'all later. Right? And so we get to a place where we're not even really as believers, we're not really willing to admit that we're dealing with unbelief, that we're dealing with doubt, that we're dealing with fear. Everybody doubts. Everybody has unbelief. Everybody has fear. Right? A lot of times we experience these things where we don't. I mean, we doubt God. We doubt Jesus. We doubt his miracles. Right? We doubt healing, financial needs, the big enchilada. We doubt our salvation. Well, not me, Pastor Solo. I'm a man of faith, power, and the hour. Got more faith and more word on the inside of me. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about doubting salvation. Doubting that you're doubting that God is actually going to do what he said he's going to do. I love that song. It says, man, I thought these walls would done fall down by now. Dear God, what's going on? No, I'm the only one. And I know it's hard to believe I pastor a church. It's like, man, how are you supposed to pastor a church, man? You got doubt, unbelief, and fear? Because when the kids are looking, they're looking to us, and we're trying not to have any fear, we're not trying to have any doubt, we're not trying to have any unbelief, but they're looking to us, and we're like, well, speak the word and pray. Well, I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. And we're afraid with them. Okay. All right. We'll keep going. So, being in ministry for 20 years, I was youth pastor, associate pastor, executive pastor for 20 years. My wife was a children's minister for 16 years. God had been speaking to me probably for about 4 years prior about taking over the church for my pastor. Some plans were set in place, so I knew I was going to be pastoring soon. I didn't know what that looked like. And then some things had changed, and so basically what happened was instead of taking over the church, we were sent out to start a church. Sounds exciting, right? No, not at all. Not even a little bit. I didn't even want to start a church. As a matter of fact, my wife's like, I think you're hearing from the devil. I think you agree with you. There's no way in the world that God would want me to start a church. That's the devil. The devil wants you to start a church, not God. Right? And so the first thing that we had to deal with was the fear and the unbelief and the doubt of leaving a church that we have been with for 20 years. God, everybody's so excited. You're going to do an awesome thing. I'm like, mm-hmm. You coming with me? Oh, no, brother, you go. We're going to bless you. If that ship sinks and you're on your own, we'll send the lifeboats after you. Right? So then we had to go through that unbelief. We had to go through that doubt. We had to go through that fear. And then leaving the church. And then we had to start the church. And we started with nothing. And when I say nothing, we had an idea. Not even tangible. We didn't have anything. And when I say we had anything, we didn't have nothing. Had some dreams, hopes, and 20 crazy people that were like, hey, we're going with you. I'm like, I don't even know where I'm going. Let's go. And I'm like, okay, we could be in the wilderness for 40 years. That's all right. We're behind you. I'm like, it's going to be a lot of manna. Right? So even just starting the church, we're dealing with unbelief, doubt, fear. Right? Because I'm just going to be transparent with y'all. I'm going, man, it's one thing to have somebody that's leading and you're following them because you're not responsible. But when you get when you read the scriptures, being the senior pastor, being the lead spiritual advisor, being the spiritual head of the congregation, of the community, you're held at a higher accountability. So my fear was not starting the church. My fear was misleading people. Yeah. My fear, and like God, I'm like, I know who lives in here. I know. I go to sleep with me. I wake up, I spend all day with me. I go to bed and I lay in bed and going to sleep and there I am. I'm still there and you want me to lead these people? You've got to have a better choice. What if I mislead these people? What if I say something wrong? What if I share something wrong? And this creates anxiety. Creates fear. But we're not allowed to talk about that because it means you're out of faith. Right? Well, I know I'm got that cow's tipping over, man. And this is the thing that a lot of times we don't address. And so we start the church and I'm like, man, I don't want to mislead anybody. I'm not trying to send anybody to hell. I don't want to do anything wrong. My heart's right. But the fear of knowing that you possibly could, not even intentionally, but unintentionally. Who wants that responsibility? I'm still waiting for somebody to come and take over for me so I can just be a youth pastor again. I want to be a youth pastor. That's what I want to do. I want to work with young people and then blame the guy that's in charge. You put me in charge of young people, right? So now here we are. We're 5 years, fixing to be 6 years in, man. We're leading. I'm leading and going, and I still deal with unbelief. I still deal with doubt. I still deal with fear because it's a bully. Yeah. Just keeps coming around, pushing you, knocking on your door, trying to take your lunch and your lunch money. Right? And this is the thing that we struggle with, right? Sometimes we doubt because we feel that we have not met the standards. We have not met God's standards. We're not in right standing. We haven't overcome enough. We haven't spoke the word enough. We haven't done some things. So we begin to doubt, have unbelief and fear because we feel like we have not measured up to what God has asked us to do or what we should do. So we have unbelief, doubt and fear. And that bully just knocking on our door, knocking on our door, knocking on our door. If you don't get anything out of what I'm sharing this morning, understand this. Unbelief is the root of doubt, and doubt gives life to fear. We have to understand that, because if we don't understand that, then we're trying to push back on fear and not really understanding what's going on with us without really understanding who we are in Christ, right? So often, we believe that we're moving in faith, we're walking in faith, we're speaking in faith, and actually it's fear. Sometimes we think we're doing things in faith and it's actually fear that's motivating us, not faith. Because if we don't say these things, then this and this will happen. If we don't do these things, this and this will happen. But real faith, I love you. Real faith will acknowledge that there is a mountain.
Yeah.
Real faith will acknowledge that there is fear, that there is doubt, that there is unbelief. Faith doesn't ignore unbelief. Faith does not ignore doubt. Faith does not ignore fear. Faith speaks, acknowledges it, and then speaks to it. But we have gotten to a place in the culture today where a lot of times we won't even acknowledge unbelief. We won't acknowledge doubt. We will not acknowledge fear. And so it just keeps beating on us and beating us and beating us, taking our lunch money, taking the prayers that we're believing God for. And we're just operating out of fear and not faith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is this helping anybody? Is it making anybody mad yet?
Yeah.
Some of y'all are mad, upset. Pastor Tim, you got a long line at your office when I'm done. Listen to this. Our unwillingness to admit the facts, we find ourselves in a bad confession when it's our confession that actually leads to faith. See, we've gotten to a place in the Word of Faith culture to where we don't want to say the wrong thing. We don't want to confess the wrong thing, but it's our confession that leads to faith. Think about this. Jesus says, confess our sins to one another. But we never confess our sins to one another. We always say, I made a mistake. I did something bad. But we never say what it was that we did. You're never confessed to lying if you never say I lied and this is what I lied about and I lied to you, then you didn't really confess anything. You just said, I did something wrong. See, when you're looking at that fear and you're looking at that doubt and unbelief, when you acknowledge God, I have unbelief. God, I've got some doubts about who you are, about what you can do and who I am. God, I'm afraid. I'm full of fear right now. Until we acknowledge that and confess that, there's no way that he can step in and work for us.
Yeah.
It's all us doing it and not God. It says that, listen, the word tells us, it says that he is strong when we are what? But if we never admit our weakness, then he can never be our strength. We have to admit where we're at first. And this is where we get caught up. We're not, this sounds really bad, but we have not been allowed to admit where we're weak. And this is the part that we struggle with as believers, is because we're waiting for God to do something. He's just waiting for us to confess that we're actually weak in what we're doing. And he can't move on our behalf if we don't admit that. I don't care how many verses you know. I don't care how much you confess the word. It does not matter. If you have fear and you're in fear, then you're in fear. But until you say, God, I'm full of fear. I tell my people all the time, I said, I know you're afraid, do it afraid. That's faith. Right? And this is where we get caught up, right? So when doubt comes, it really comes like a bully. When unbelief comes, it comes as a bully. When fear comes, it comes as a bully. So think about Moses, right? Moses, backside of the mountain, says, hey, God's like, hey, I want you to go get my folks out of Egypt. And he's like, I think you got the wrong person. Sound like me. So Moses goes to Egypt, grabs everybody, all the miracles that takes place, all the everything that takes place with the what do you call it, the frogs and, you know, the pest, I mean, all this stuff happening. And it's happening before the Egyptians and the Israelites. Finally, Egypt, I mean, the Pharaoh's like, okay, you can go get out of here. I'm tired of messing with you. Get out of my hair. So they leave, right? And they see all this. And yet, when they get to the Red Sea, they're like, oh, great, he brought us out here to die. Sounds like doubt. They go through the Red Sea, watch the whales. Y'all seen the movie, right? Prince of Egypt, the whales swimming, the songs playing, right? So they get to the other side. And they're like, oh, great, now the Egyptians are coming. Sounds like doubt. Can you believe it? God brought us out here. It's unbelievable. They get to the other side. The Egyptians get washed down. They're like, man, God is so good. He rescued us. I doubt he'll be able to take care of us out here. I'm so afraid of what I'm going to feed my kids. It's unbelievable that we're out here stuck in the middle of the desert. And because of their doubt, because of their unbelief, because of their fear, guess where they were for 40 years? Because nobody was willing to admit that they had doubt, fear, and unbelief. Okay. Are we okay? Anybody know about Abraham? He's the father of what? Abraham's the father of what? Father of many nations. He's the father of faith, right? Because he was so full of faith that he went and had sex with a handmaiden. Sounds like faith to me. You're going to have a son. Yeah. Can you believe this? This is unbelievable. And he's going to be the father of many nations. I doubt that'll happen. You can have so many kids, like, now I'm afraid what's going to happen. Like, how's this going to happen? What do I do? And fear causes Abraham to do something that he wouldn't normally do. Sleeps with another woman, has a child that's not supposed to be a child. Like, great job, wrong, don't, you know. Sorry, I wasn't in it. Unbelief, doubt, and fear produce something that was not of God. And a lot of times that's what happens to us. Unbelief, doubt, and fear comes into our life and we produce something that we claim is God, but it's not really God. Because we're operating out of fear, not out of faith. Anybody mad at me yet? Anybody know Peter? Y'all heard Peter? Right? Peter's on the boat, stormy. Jesus is out for an evening stroll. Starts raining, right? Everybody freaks out. Y'all with me? Peter says, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come out. Come on out. The water's great, man. Feet are a little wet, but it's good. So what does Peter do? This is dialogue. Come on, we're having a conversation. What does Peter do? He steps out, right? But what does he step? He steps out of the boat and does what? He does what? No, before he starts to sink. What did he say? What does he do? Starts walking. He literally is walking on the water when he gets out of the boat. Then he notices the storm. Then what happens? Starts to sink. So Peter's walking on the water. Listen to this. Stay real close with me. Pay real close attention. Peter's walking on the water. Then he has unbelief. I cannot believe I'm walking on water. This is crazy. I doubt this could possibly happen. Oh my God, I'm sinking. Watch this. A lot of times this is what happens to us. We're in the perfect will of God. We can't believe it, so we start doubting, and then fear kicks in. And we start sinking because we had unbelief. We could not believe what God was doing. and we started doubting what he was doing. And so the fear crept in, took over, and now we're sinking just like Peter in the midst of what God was doing in our life or is doing in your life right now. Not even realizing that the bully has got your sack lunch. Right? So I'm watching this documentary with my wife. This woman is a non-believer. She's atheist, doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Jesus, doesn't believe in church, doesn't believe anything, raised this way, family been this way. She's at a doctor. She's going in. She's pregnant. She's having health issues. So she goes in to have some tests run. And so while she's there, they tell her she's okay. They send her home. She's still not feeling well. And as she's getting ready to leave, this spirit-filled, word of faith woman comes over and says, listen, I know you don't know me, but I think you need to go back in and get checked out. I just feel like God's telling me you need to go back and checked out. So she's like, kind of freaks out. So the lady's like, okay, I'll go back in. So if they go back in, and what happened was they got her records mixed up with somebody else's records, and there was actually an issue that she was having. So they literally ran her to the emergency from the doctor's office. She got to the doctor's office. I mean, got to the emergency room. When she got to the emergency room, they told her, they said, if you would have been 10 minutes longer, you would have died. To this day, this woman has all kinds of medical problems. And this is what she said. I would rather live with all my medical problems and not be healed and believe in Christ than have Christ heal me and not believe. See, this messes with your theology. We're like, man, she should understand that Christ is the healer. But what we do, I love y'all, what we do is we get caught more up on who Christ is as the healer than knowing who Christ is. She said, I would rather know Christ as the healer than be healed. Think about that for a second. I told you I was going to tip over some theology here. Right? Think about this. If you were never going to be healed, Pastor Sola, I'm not saying that Christ doesn't heal, and I'm not saying that he doesn't do miracles and that he doesn't heal us and he wants us healed. But if what I'm saying is that she went from being a non-believer, an atheist, to believing, what's greater, her believing or her being healed? Do you see how we get it twisted? Because what we're doing is we're so focused on the healing and not the healer. We're so focused on what God and Christ will do for us that we forget who he is. Yes, it's God wants her to be healed, but having her have a relationship with Jesus is far more important than actually being healed. And a lot of times we forget that. And what I'm saying is this. Sometimes we get so caught up in everything that's going on around us that we forget what God's doing with us right this second. That's why Peter sank. He's on the water walking, y'all. God is providing everything that they need in the desert. Their clothes grew with them. Everything's provided. Everything. And they still had doubt and unbelief. And I'm saying to you as believers and followers of Christ, even when you're in the midst of doing everything that you're supposed to do, doubt, unbelief, and fear is going to come knock on your door. But don't forget what he has done for you in the past, because that's how you know what he's going to do you right now, regardless of what's happening. Regardless of what's happening. So now I get to share my favorite one, because I just shared this a couple of weeks ago. We almost had a fight. It was really good. We don't fight the way we used to. And before it wasn't real physical, but there were physical things flying. And so mostly her, she would throw things at me. No, I'm joking. I'm the one that threw things. I would get mad and I would throw things. So my wife, hates business. She despises business, entrepreneurials, because that's what I was when we first got together, and she just hated it. I don't like business. She opened a clothing store, a resale shop, several times, and they failed. Do you want me to tell you why they failed? Every one of her resale shops failed. Not because she didn't have a good idea. Her thrift shops failed because she doesn't understand business. She would come in, right, open her shop, and somebody would come in and be like, oh, I really like this. And they'd pull out their money to pay. Oh, you don't have to pay for it. Just take it. She would give away everything. She wouldn't charge for nothing. Ever. I'm like, yeah, shut this thing down. We ain't making no money. Thrift store number two. Same thing. I've learned my lesson. No, she didn't. Didn't learn her lesson at all. giving stuff away. I'm like, we can't keep paying rent for this building. Like, this is not going to work. Well, I guess we'll have to shut it. Yeah, because you keep giving everything away. I mean, think about this. We're just business perspective. I love my wife. She's sitting right there. She's heard this before, so there won't be a fight after service. So I'm telling her, look, they're giving you free things, free clothes, free furniture, free stuff. All you have to do is put a price tag on it and exchange it for money. And we can make a lot of money because we're not paying anything for the stuff. Well, I can't sell it. It was given to me. I'm like, close down thrift shop number two. Thrift shop number three, same thing. Right? Fast forward, 4 years later. My wife has been making hot sauce for some years. How many of y'all know who Chip and Joanne Gaines are? All right. So my wife was working in Magnolia. She was a server at the table. Her and my daughter and some other folks were there working. And they put her name in the hat for every year they, Chip and Joanne, they call them chip starters. Well, my wife, in 2020, was given $15,000 for a chip starter for her hot sauce. I was like, cha-ching! Yes, God, you finally answered our prayers. Manna from heaven. Excellent. Big fish. We had a big fish catch. We're excited. I'm excited. You know, and I thought, oh my God, she don't know business. We're in trouble. Whole bunch of stuff happened. COVID happened. All this stuff happened. She got a trailer. She was trying to get a food trailer going so she could start selling her hot sauce. We're still going, right? About 12 months later, a guy comes and talks to her, gives her another $15,000 to keep her going. I really want to see you succeed. I want this thing to go. I believe in you. I'm like, it's crazy. So at the same time this is happening, my wife has been teaching a defensive driving school. So she does that on Saturdays. She would teach a defensive driving school. And while she's teaching the school, the lady's a little older, and she says, I'm ready to retire. I want to sell this defensive driving school to you for $20,000. I'm like, yes, we don't have money for that. Well, we got this other money, but that's not for that. And so my wife tells her, we don't have money, but we'll put us on an easy payment plan. You know, $50 for 50 weeks for 50,000 years. You know? And so the lady says, you know what? I'll do that. So this is right before COVID, or right when COVID hit. So then COVID hit. My wife was doing the school. The lady calls her up one evening, crying. I mean, just crying. This lady's crying. She had on speakerphone, and it's like, I'm so sorry. I've been disobedient to God. I should have listened to God. And I was never supposed to sell it to you. I was supposed to give it to you. I'm going to say, God, listen. I'm trying to do the work of the Lord here. I've got a church. I'm trying to build. I just had 20 crazy people, no money, and you're handing money over to my wife like it's candy. Like, what's going on here? Right? So I'm like, man, this is crazy. What's going on? I'm starting to get mad at God. I'm like, I'm your humble servant. She don't even like business. You know what we could do at the church if we had this kind of money? While I'm complaining to God, my wife gets another call. This time he has a sense of humor because it's worse. It's my brother that calls her. And my brother's very agnostic. He doesn't really believe in God and Jesus stuff. Like, he's like, I don't know about that. But he believes in my wife. She already had one trailer. My brother says, I believe in you so much, I'm going to go buy you a trailer. Gives her $17,000, puts this trailer in her hands. So now my wife don't have one trailer. She has two trailers. Yeah, I'm looking at all the husbands right now. They're like, ooh, you are a man of God. Yes, I am, because boy, look here. So at this time, I'm going, man, what's going on? Can you see God moving in her life? God doing some things for her? You know what my wife does? We're driving, and she's got all this money that's being given. I told her, I was like, man, that's also like $65,000 that you've been given in 3 years. And we're driving, right? And my wife, and a little financial tight because we're trying to get these things off the ground. We're doing our thing, trying to follow God, trying to be led by the Spirit, trying to speak the word. Like we're word of faith people, man. Like I believe that. And we're doing everything that we know to do. Flipping all the levers, saying all the right words, pushing all the buttons. We're doing anything and everything that we know to do according to the scripture. Are y'all with me? We're driving along and my wife says this. Maybe I should just go get a job at HEB, which is our local grocery store. And I was like, what? It's just really tight right now. Maybe I should just go get a job. Like, it's tough. And I'm like, okay. You've had people give you $65,000 and you can't believe God for some electric bill payment, water payment, house, like you can't believe God for that. She goes, maybe I just need to help him. I said, okay, you need an Ishmael in your life is what you're looking for, right? How many times has God been moving in your life and yet you still can't believe it? Like you have unbelief. And that's where she was at. She was literally in unbelief. I can't believe people are giving me this money. Now they're going to expect results. I doubt that we're going to do anything. I doubt it's going to work because it's so hard. It's so tough. It's we're being squeezed on financially. We're being squeezed on in our faith. This is just so difficult. And guess what kicks in? Fear. God's not going to do it. We got to find a way to do it. And this is where we find ourselves living life as believers. Walking on the water and yet doubting that God can actually do it and having unbelief that he's doing it. And we fall into fear because that bully's right there waiting for us. I ain't even shared any scriptures yet. Y'all ready? I'm going to back all this up real fast. Y'all ready? Go to Hebrews. You can turn there real quick. I'm just going to quote these real fast. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. This is where Paul's talking about. He says this. I'm just going to paraphrase this because there's a lot, and I know y'all ready to go for lunch. Paul's talking here in Hebrews from 6 through 14, but I'm going to just read this real quick. It says, this is where your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw the miracles for 40 years. Are we testing God's patience? Right? Is God getting like, come on. I'm doing this, but you're still having unbelief. You're still having doubt. You're still having fear. Right? Mark chapter 6. Verses 1 through 6. I'm just paraphrasing this, but I'm giving you the whole verses. This is the whole thing in context. It says, and because of their unbelief, he couldn't do any miracles among them except place his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Who was amazed at their unbelief? Is Jesus amazed at your unbelief? Do you got Jesus going, woo, I thought you was full of faith. Well, you got some unbelief. But see, what we do is we're afraid to acknowledge that we have unbelief. We're not taught to do that. And I'm saying that I'm challenging that. I think we need to admit when we have unbelief. That's when God can step in and work with our unbelief. Right? If we forget what God has done for us, then the people around us will forget also. If we forget what God has done for us in the past, then the people around us will forget also. See, this is where my wife was. She forgot everything that had God done. Everything that God done, she forgot. In the midst of everything that God was doing. Look at the Hebrew folks. Man, they're being fed every day, and yet they forgot that he delivered them out of Israel. Peter's on the water and forgot that he was actually walking before he started sinking. Right? When you think about what God's doing, sometimes it just gets us off where we're supposed to be. Our faith, listen to this, our faith is based on our trust, which is found in our relationship with Christ. Going back to that lady, right? The lady she went from being an atheist to being a believer. And all the people that believe that Christ is the healer are going, well, why don't she get healed? And they miss the fact that she went from being an atheist to a believer. Which is greater? Her being saved and realizing who Christ is, or her being healed? Do you see how we get it twisted and we lose sight of who God is, who Christ is to us? We lose the value the same way that we lose the value of what God's doing in us in that moment, and we start having doubt, unbelief, Right? So we get, because I'm watching this documentary, I'm like, man, God, but he can heal her. And I was not satisfied with the fact that she was actually saved and had a relationship with Jesus. And this is how we lose sight of what God's actually doing. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. That's what it says. It says, they told him, we have seen the Lord, but he replied, I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into his wound in the side. Then Jesus told him, he says, you believe because you have seen me, but blessed are those who believe without seeing. Sometimes we're like Thomas, I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I see it. And then when we see it, we still don't believe it. Hello. Mark chapter 9. I'm going to finish with this. Mark chapter 9, verses 19 through 24. Mark chapter 9, verses 19 through 24. It says, Jesus said to them, you faithless people, how long must I put up with you? How long must I be with you? He says, bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When is the last time we prayed that?
Yeah.
When's the last time you, in your prayer closet, right where you're at, go, God, I need help with my unbelief.
Yeah.
I'm full of faith, but I need help with my unbelief. God, help me with my fear. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. Because the enemy sends thoughts to our minds and those thoughts start going and we never address them. We just do what we're all taught to do. We cast them down. We don't address them. Okay. But when you're like, man, God, I'm afraid that this is happening. Well, that's a bad confession. No, you're admitting to that you need Jesus to step in. You're saying, God, I need you to intervene for me because I'm incapable of doing this or handling this or going through this. I have fear. I'm afraid. And when you can start admitting that you're afraid, guess who steps in? The Spirit of God, because we don't have a spirit of fear, but of strength, power, and love. And that doesn't kick in until we admit that we're afraid. I'm afraid. Well, it makes you sound weak. Hello. Hello. We don't have any strength outside Christ. We don't have any strength outside the Holy Ghost. We don't have any strength outside the Word. Right? But what we do is we get caught up in our own strength, our own righteousness, and who we say that God is in us, but we never let Him manifest it because we're too busy doing it for Him. I mean, think about this. This man brings his son. I need, help me. He goes, you think I can't help? Well, of course you can. I believe. But wait a minute. I still have some unbelief. Can you help me overcome that? And this is not a popular message. We don't talk about this. We don't discuss this because it makes us look weak, but you have to be weak because that's when He is strong in us. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be transparent with you. When I start, because I was, you have to understand, I'm getting ready to start a church. My blood pressure is going through the roof. They got me on medication. I'm having anxiety attacks. I can't hardly function. I'm spending like 2 and 3 days in my bed. I'm having issues and I'm speaking the word, speaking the word, speaking the word, speaking the word. And I'm like, why is this not working? And the Spirit of God's like, because you won't admit that you're afraid. As soon as I started telling people, like, shoo, I'm scared. Guess what started happening? Strength started coming to me. I started overcoming because I was willing to admit that I was afraid of pastoring people. I was afraid of starting a church. I was afraid of doing things. I was having anxiety. I started acknowledging it. See, what we do is we like to speak to the mountain, but we never acknowledge what the mountain is. Hello. We never even acknowledge that there is a mountain. And I started to acknowledge, ooh, that's an anxiety mountain right there. Ooh, that's an ugly one. Lord, could you toss that over there? Because I can't seem to do that. I'm having some doubt in my abilities and what I can do. Can you help me with this? And when we start, listen to this, when we start confessing, confessing means that you're admitting to something that is actually there. And that's where we have to start. We have to get to, we got to get down to the nitty gritty. Right? We got to be, we have to say, look, I can't do this. I need you, Jesus, to step in on my behalf. Right? Because he is the one that we go to, right? Because if we do it in our strength, then it's our strength and not in Christ. And this is the bridge that we have to cross, right? See, we have to acknowledge our unbelief. We have to literally say, you know what, God? I've got some unbelief. And I need you to help me with my unbelief. I love you. Y'all ready? I love you. Tim doesn't even know I'm going to say this, and it's the Spirit of God just hit me right here with this. So y'all in trouble. I love you. When Pastor Tim took over the church, some of you are like, I don't believe he's going to be able to do it. I doubt that he's going to do a good job. And I'm fearful where this church is going to end up. Okay, got real quick. You may not say it, but I guarantee you it's there. Let me tell you how I know. Because I deal with my people. Pastor, I love you, but I'm not sure if you know where we're supposed to be going. I get in trouble with my staff all the time. You know why? Because they have doubt, unbelief, and fear in me leading. But yet they're following. And you know what I tell them? Let's have a conversation because I'm scared too. Let's hold our hands, put our heads under the cover, and say some prayers. So that the evil man underneath the bed won't get us. This is the world we live in. This is like we're adults, right? And it's the same thing, same process, but we don't want to have those conversations because they're uncomfortable, because it makes us look like we're out of faith. And actually, you're probably in more faith by having that conversation. You know how much faith it takes to have that conversation? Because you're trusting God to have that conversation. You know how much faith and courage and fear I had to overcome and tell my wife, what are you talking about? Get a job? Do you not know who your provider is? Do you not see what God's doing on your behalf? And you're like, I'm going to go figure it out. And this is how we live our lives. Right? And we have to understand that we have to be able to step out and do those things. So I want you to do three things. All right? Three things I want you to do. I'm going to ask you to do. Challenge you to do. If you don't want to do them, you don't have to do them. I'll just talk. Three things. Can you remember the last three things that God has actually done for you in the last 3 months? Can you write those down? Something you'd be like, man, that was God. God was working on my behalf. One, two, three. What were the last three things God done for you in the last 3 months? That's just one a month. Right? See, if we don't remember what he's done for us when that bully comes, then we'll forget. And the people around us will forget. See, we need to be, they said, we shall surround ourselves with people of like faith, like-minded, so that they can remind us what God's doing and is doing right now and has done. What would it look like here at Westview if everybody was reminded of what God had done for them the last 3 months? Amen. Even though that we have doubt, even though that we have unbelief, even though that we have some fear. Right? Because it was my team that was rallying around me when I was sitting in the meetings, and I'm telling them, like, man, I'm afraid. Like, I'm having anxiety. I'm dealing with anxiety. My blood pressure's all over the place. And they're like, Pastor Sella, why? And I'm afraid, man. Like, I don't want to mess up. I'm representing God here. I'm leading folks. I want to make sure I get this right. And they're like, but do you not remember what God did here?
Yes, I do.
Didn't you see what God did last week?
Oh, yes, you're right.
Don't you believe God can do it?
I doubt it, but okay.
But the people around me were gathering around and they were helping me to overcome the fear, the doubt, and unbelief. They were helping me increase my faith in God, in Christ, speaking the word, praying for me. But they don't know how to pray if I don't say what's going on. If they don't know what's going on, I'm not saying you got to tell everybody your business, but with people that believe in you, but that believe the way that you do, that know the word. That's who we're confessing our sin to. I got some sin. What's your sin? Is I have unbelief right now. I've got some sin. What's your sin? I've got some doubt. I don't think doubt. I'm just doubting God right now. I've got some sin. Oh yeah, what's that? Is that I'm operating in fear and thinking fear, and I don't like how fear is getting a hold of me. Well, don't speak that. That's not the word. Oh yeah, it's the word I'm getting right now. I'm sweating. I'm shaking. I can't function. I hardly have any anxiety attacks. have gotten almost gone by now. But before that, I was just, my wife was like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, I can't function. Leave me alone. Well, I thought you was a man of faith. I was like, I am. Leave me alone. And when God was teaching me all this, guess what he took? Just where he showed me. You know, Elijah goes and he calls down fire. He burns all the prophets, right? All these people are trying to kill him. He kills them all, burns up, and he's like, yes, God is God, right? Worship him. 15 minutes later, some lady's looking for him. He's in the cave. She's going to kill me. And God's like, that's you right there. And I was like, God, maybe I'm bipolar. Like, what's the problem? He's like, no, you're not bipolar. Your problem is that you won't admit when you're afraid. You won't admit when you have doubt in me. You won't admit when you don't believe what I say. And when I started realizing that, I was like, man, I started getting free, because whom the Son sets free is free. And there is freedom in truth. It gives the enemy has no power when you acknowledge where you're at. So guess what happens to the bully? When he shows up next time, you're like, oh yeah, you're the guy that tried to take my sack lunch last week. Okay, I recognize you. You're right. It's a really good lunch. You want a bite? Because if you give what he's bringing, then you don't have to worry about him taking anything. Right? It's like, you're afraid. You're absolutely right. Every time fear comes, the devil's like, you're a little scaredy cat. I know I am. He's like, wait, you know you are? Yeah, here's my big brother Jesus. Hold on, he'll talk to you. Right? The bodyguard can't step in if we don't allow him. Jesus can't step in. The Holy Ghost can't step in. The Word can't go into effect if we're too busy trying to hold off the bully. Is this helping anybody this morning? Write those three things down. What would it look like here at Westview if everybody was willing to admit when they have unbelief, when they have doubt, when they have fear? You know how many people would rally around you and you wouldn't feel like you're alone like some of you feel right now? Walking this thing out, believing God for this one thing. It's like, man, I'm really struggling with this. What would it look like here if everybody had that open dialogue? How much faith would increase, right? Because we can add our faith to someone else, right? I'm going to put my faith with yours. And guess who shows up? Jesus. And things start happening. I'm like, man, what are y'all doing? Oh, we just acknowledge where we're at. That's all we do. Because that's all we do at our church, Riverside Community Church. We acknowledge. We're like, I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm doing this. I'm having issues here. And we're just open with it. Like, oh my gosh, y'all are a bunch of sinners saved by grace. Like, we need some help, right? Like, we're not all perfect. It's a journey. But until we're willing to admit our faults and our flaws, it's hard for God to work with us or on us. Amen. This help you this morning? Remember why, I'm going to remark, remember what God has done for you so that the people around you won't forget who he is and what he's done for you. Because when you forget what God's done for you, the people around you will forget even faster. Remind yourself and remind others. And then you'll be able to beat the bully up and he will have no power in your life. Amen. Did y'all get something this morning? Okay, start the car. Pastor Tim, thank you so much, man. I hope I'm not in trouble. We don't have a trailer of hot sauce.
Next time.
We came down for transition service, and she had a couple of addicts at the house. They were really, really like, make some more. It's really, really good. I would tell you that she would make you some, but then I'll get in trouble because she won't sell it.
Hey, man, thank you. That was awesome. It's good. Now can you see why I like talking with this guy? I mean, our conversation, I mean, that was a good word. And our conversations are just, he's on point. He don't sugarcoat nothing. I mean, and challenges me every single time. So I'm just thankful for him being able to come up, him and his wife. And so we're just going to give unto the ministry and stuff, and just bless them as they leave. So if you got checks, please make it out to Westview Church, and then we'll give them one check as they leave and stuff like that. But yes, if you give online, fill out an envelope, and we'll get that to them. And even those who are online that want to give, you can go ahead and give, and then we'll make sure they receive everything that they need. So, ushers, come on forward. Hey. Lord, we just thank you for the word that we received today. Lord, it truly blessed us and helped us to understand that fear, it is there, but so is faith, Lord. And we just thank you for all you've done, because you are an awesome God. And we thank you for the gift that Pastor Cello and Mia are to the body of Christ. And we just want to bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.